We're going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord God, as we engage your word this morning, may the words of our hearts, all of our thoughts and meditations be toward you, Lord, and to your glory. Be with us, Pastor, Lord. Amen. It's about 7 years ago, and I remember sitting out here in the hub over in this area over here with our then director of adult discipleship, Rob Allen. You all remember Rob? And we were having a great conversation when all of a sudden I felt weird. That's really the best thing I could say. I had this weird feeling. It wasn't really pain. It was more of a pressure. And what I was feeling is there seemed to be some sort of pressure that was started in my back and was going forward here. And, you know, it didn't hurt, but it just felt weird. And I didn't know if I should say something to Rob, you know, something like, dude, you're giving me heartburn. But he saw the look on my face, my concern, and so I fessed up. I said, Rob, I'm feeling kind of weird. And so thinking I may have be having a cardiac event, we went to the emergency room. And I'm very thankful for the staff there. They took me in and laid down on a table, and I had something called an EKG, an electrocardiogram. And what they do in how many electrocardiograms out there? Yeah. So you know what they do is they put those electrodes on you, about 12, I think. And I found the process very quick, very ticklish. But what happens is they're measuring the electronic impulses of your heart, basically, to check the health of your heart. That's one of many procedures that they do. I was very thankful that they came back and said, Kevin, your heart's just doing fine. We think you're just feeling a lot of stress right now. So, yay. And funny how when I'm having that procedure, that pressure, that weird feeling I had just started to go away, right? I was very thankful for that. But you know, I'm also very thankful that we have processes like an EKG that can help us to determine the health of our heart. That's just one of the miracles, I think, of modern medicine, that we have those tools that we have. EKG tests the physical state of our heart. But what if we had an EKG that can, I don't know, test for the heart of our souls? What would that look like for you? Would it look like you have a healthy heart of soul? Or maybe that soul's a little stressed? Or maybe that soul, maybe it's in danger of collapsing. What does your soul look like? And not just the heart of our individual souls, but the heart of the soul of this church. Do we have a healthy soul? Robert Schnazy, who's now the bishop of the Rio, Texas conference. He was our bishop here in Missouri for about 12 years prior. Well, he would say that you can take an inventory of your soul, and that there are these spiritual practices that you can engage in that can help you in strengthening your soul in your walk with Jesus Christ. And many of you have probably heard these before. Practices like radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking, mission, and service. That sound familiar? Well, underlying all of those disciplines is a fifth discipline, which is going to be the subject of our series, and that is extravagant generosity. You see, you can't be radical in hospitality, you can't worship passionately, you cannot intentionally engage in your faith development, nor can you engage in risk-taking, mission, and service unless you know how to give. Quoting Robert Schneezy, when he talks about generosity in general, he says, "Giving helps us to become what God wants us to be. Giving is not merely about the church's need for money, which many of us think about, I think, but about the Christian's need to grow in generosity. For generosity is a fruit of the Spirit, a sign of our spiritual growth. God uses our giving to change the world for God's purposes, and God uses our giving to reconfigure our interior lives and to change us." The bottom line is that generosity results in a vibrant and healthy life, not only for us individually, but for us as a church. Hey, I'm all for a vibrant, healthy life. Aren't you? Are you sure? Some of you are going, "Well, I could be unhealthy for a while." I think we all are. So I'm not going to give a quick definition of generosity during this series. Every week we're going to be talking about different understandings of generosity. And again, underlying all those are some of Bishop Schneezy's understanding, because he's written quite a bit about this and he's very thoughtful in some of his understandings on generosity. So I'd just like to start out by saying, guess what? We can be generous. We can be generous because we were created by a generous God. We know that God is generous. How? Well, besides just the awesome beauty of creation out there, what generous creativity there is, we know that in our faith because God gave his only Son that we may have life. God's Son died for us and lives resurrected for us. What a powerful generosity. Greater love has no person to give their life for a friend. Amen? And the generosity of the Holy Spirit that fills us up. That is the amazing generosity that God shares with us. From God's heart to our hearts. We can be generous, but we struggle in being generous. For the opposite of generosity is selfishness, self-centeredness, and greed. And each and every day that we are alive, we struggle with all three of those. No, we're not these evil, greedy people like this. I know of no one in this room like that or online. But I think that in this world where we struggle to trust, that there are plenty of times where we are looking out for number one or for those that are important for us. Often in times instead of trusting in God. And so when we do that, we struggle with selfishness and self-centeredness and greed. Yeah, greed. When we have to have something. How many streaming stations do we have to have these days? It's like they're everywhere and everything costs, but we got to have them to see our favorite movies and our favorite shows. Augustine, we call this, concupiscence, this grasping after things. We struggle with that. But hear good news. Even in the midst of our struggles, God encourages us to be generous. Bishop Schneezy would say that generosity is a character that comes from, it's our character that comes from the heart of God. From God's heart to our heart that we share with the world. Something else about generosity that's really interesting. And that is, in the giving, just practicing generosity, then all of a sudden God is doing a work in us so that we can realize God's purpose for us on the inside. And God does and changes us from the inside so that we can change others. It's an interesting thing. We may struggle with selfishness and self-centeredness and greed, but the very act of generosity does something for us. To be able to give of ourselves. And I'm not just talking about money, but I'm talking about a giving of our time, giving of our treasure. By the way, you know that Jesus spoke about 11% of his teaching. No, excuse me, 15% of his teaching was on money. And 11 of his 39 parables was about money. And not about money, but our attitude toward money, our struggle. But also with the encouragement that we can engage in generosity, and that itself allows us to be even more generous. Do you get it? Let me show you a picture of some generous people. Let's put that up there, guys. Yeah. That was yesterday's Trunk or Treat. Woohoo! 147 people came through yesterday. And that was amazing considering we were not the only Trunk or Treat in town. And there were multiple Trunk or Treats in other areas like Belton and Raymore and just all over. But we had 147. These are very generous people. Do you know why? It's because they could have done anything else on a Saturday. Truly, everybody's working during the week. They're tired. They deserve a day of rest just to be at home, to watch the game on TV, to do all those things. But these people dare to put on weird costumes and to decorate their trunks so that they could bring joy to a lot of children. I think for some of the kids, I was the scariest one. I was Santa. I thought, hey, Christmas and Halloween, and I had several kids give me a hug, but some ran from me. Stephen was the man. Talk about generosity. He stood near the road to encourage people to go into the parking lot next door. Lady of Lourdes was very gracious to let us park over there so that people could come to Trunk or Treat. And Stephen was motioning them then. And don't you know that the church experienced our radical hospitality through Stephen as he was welcoming them to 4 o'clock Mass? But he was there steadfastly, friends, for 3 hours. Standing there waving people in. It was a wonderful afternoon. You see, exercising generosity doesn't have to be this massive thing. But these people gave of their time, of their money, for all that candy. And there was a lot of candy that was consumed. I think most of it was from the people going through, not from those that were participating in it. But that's what generosity can look like. Thank you. And that leads to the last thing that I'd just like to share with you about generosity. And that is, generosity is for other people. Is for others. To serve others. How many of you are bird watchers out there? Okay. Bishop Schneezy is a bird watcher too, although he's having to watch those birds in Texas, not in Missouri, where we have the most beautiful birds. But Schneezy shares a story about watching birds, especially in springtime, because birds like to build their nest then, right? It's after the cold winter, and now it's springtime. It's time to have little baby birds. And so they build their nest. And Schnazy remarks about how fun it is to watch birds in that process. But an insight came to Bishop Schnazy. And that is, when birds build a nest, it is not for the builder. They're not building the nest for them. They're building it for their babies, for the next generation. We build our nests. We tend to think of our nests as something we do build for ourselves, so individually, right? What's that phrase? Well, you've built quite the nest for yourself. We think of nests as our own security. Our church builds nests, don't we? Our programs, this building, our staff, our volunteers, all of our Sunday school classes, our small groups, all of those are the nests that we build together as we seek to serve Jesus out in the world. So, knowing that generosity comes from the heart of God to our hearts that we share with the world, and knowing that generosity is for the purpose of serving others, then let us now take a spiritual EKG on the heart of the soul of this church. Of all the ministries that we do, of all the nests that we've built, are they built for our purposes, for our needs? Or are they built for God's purposes in the mission of making new followers for Jesus Christ by connecting with the disconnected? How would that EKG come out? Do we just do things for us, or do we do things for others? It's a worthy question to ask. I think you know what the answer should be. But how many times when I talk about different ministries, and when I talk about that, I say, why do you enjoy this ministry? Why do you want this ministry to come back? And people say, well, I really enjoyed this. And that's great. But is that the purpose for which the ministry exists? Perhaps we should look at all that we do, every Sunday school class, every ministry that we do, every program that we do, and to be able to say, this is what this does. It's not just for us, this is for others, because we are all about connecting with the disconnected. By the way, I know that disconnected comes with baggage. People don't want to be called disconnected. We are disconnected. Every day is a process of connecting together. I start the day grumpy and disconnected, but thanks be to God and all of you, then I can connect. So thank you. Don't be bummed out about the term disconnected. That's just part of our mission. It's just acknowledging who we are. Let me share with you some ministries that I believe do a great job of connecting with the disconnected. And they both happen on Wednesday night. One of those is our choir. Did you not enjoy their beautiful music today? Amen. Our choir is growing. Have you noticed that? Yeah. It's because in Kip's leadership and in the choir, just in who they are welcoming more people. They are reaching out to people to be a part of that ministry so that they can share of their time and their talent to give it to God's glory. And that is a beautiful ministry and one that we treasure. And they have not lost the vision for who they are and for what they do. They do that for God's glory. The Table is the new ministry that began. Friends, we had our first worship service, 20 people in the Brick House. About half of those do not come to church here on Sunday morning. Half of them are kind of the team. But that's fabulous. And that's made possible, by the way, from the generous giving of some of you that are here, that allows us to do that. And friends, God was in the house that night. Not only did we connect with new people, but we were offering pastoral care to people that evening, people we had just met. Not only that, but Christians from other churches have come, and they like what they saw. We're having a vision team from one church come to our next service because they said the Spirit of God is here. Connecting with the disconnected in a non-traditional space. Reaching out. When we posted on Facebook, you should have seen some of the comments from people that were just ecstatic that we were doing that. Not only in our conference, other pastors in the Missouri Conference, but also here in Harrisonville. One comment that really excited me was, does this happen every Wednesday night? You know, this is somebody that's looking, you know, somebody who's looking to connect. This is what it means to be generous, giving of time and talents and treasure so that we can impact the community. To be generous is to know that we have a generous God who gives us that character trait of generosity that comes from the heart of God to share with others. To be generous means that we are to engage in the practice of giving so that we are changed from the inside out so that we can change this world. And in doing that, we know that generosity is not for ourselves, although we benefit from it. It is for serving others. I happened to catch the second half of one of my favorite movies. It's from 1955, Night of the Hunter. And there's a character in that movie. Her name is Rachel. And Rachel is a tough old woman who collects children who are wandering during the Great Depression. She takes care of them. She makes sure that they are clean, that they are fed, and that they have a home. Rachel takes those kids into town, and she goes into a store, and the shopkeeper goes, "Hey, have you heard from your son lately?" And she goes, "No, and I don't expect that I will." He said, "Well, you've got all these other kids with you." And she says, "Yeah, I am a strong tree with branches for many birds. I'm good for something in this old world, and I know it." I can't think of a better description of generosity. May all of us, the heart of our souls, become more and more healthy as we become strong trees with branches for many birds. Good for something in this world, but most especially good for our Lord as we change this world for good. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.